Hey, everybody. Welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn. And in today's podcast, I have the pleasure of interviewing Jillian Mandich. So Jillian is currently completing her PhD at Western University in Health and Rehabilitation Science, specializing in health promotion. Her personal mission is to educate people about evidence-based health information so they can lead a happy, healthy life. Jillian is a teacher and the world is her classroom. She teaches health and wellness on a variety of platforms, including university classrooms, TV, radio, podcasts, magazines, online, video, documentaries, yoga studios, and more. So welcome, Jillian. I am super excited to have you joining me today. And everyone, enjoy.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hey everyone, it's your head chick Amanda here. Welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. And in today's episode, I have the pleasure of introducing and interviewing Jillian Mandich. Hi, Jillian.
Hi, how are you? I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so, so happy. And this has been a long time coming for sure for both of us. Mm-hmm. I think we've been really trying to connect. I'm really excited about this interview. And for anyone who doesn't know who Jillian is a happiness researcher. And explain to everyone what that, like why you don't consider yourself an expert, because I like your reasoning behind that.
Yeah, so we were just chatting before the podcast and I said, please introduce me as a happiness researcher, not a happiness expert. And I'm a very vocabulary word-based person and I think that words are very powerful. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as an expert, it doesn't really make sense to me because I feel like the more you know, the more you know you don't know. You know, as you learn, you realize how much more there is to learn. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'm committed to in my life is being a lifelong student and to always be learning. And so for me, the term researcher, it allows me to ask questions and to be continue to learn and to think and to grow. And so I prefer that term.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it totally makes sense because then you don't feel like you're kind of like, well, this is, I'm the expert. I know everything. I can stop. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And everything is an evolving process. And I think one of the things that's really cool about being a researcher is that you're trained to look at the data. And even if you've had a belief your entire life, if you're proven wrong, you're proven wrong. And so you have to always be open-minded and open to possibilities and options and other alternatives and better things coming along, which I think that sort of my attitude mindset serves in every aspect of life, right?
Mm-hmm. No, totally. And I think, I mean, that probably helps you a lot too with the book that you wrote, the workbook that was all about the 5 scientific ways to improve your happiness. And I love this book because it was simple, actionable things. Like it was, they were all science-based. They were real actionable things that you can do in your day-to-day life to just create more happiness.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I really wanted it to be a quick read because so often books can be daunting and you just don't get through them. Mm-hmm. And I also, have you heard the saying like knowledge is power, knowledge is power? It's like all over Instagram. Yeah. I was at a Tony Robbins event in November in San Jose and he said, knowledge is potential power. Mm. And when he said that, I was like, whoa, yes, because it's like, beyond the knowing. Because you know something doesn't mean that you're going to do it in your life. How many people are driving through the drive-thru on the way home tonight knowing it's not the healthiest option and that's what they're choosing anyway? So it's more than just knowledge. It's how do you take that knowledge and take action on it? And so in the book, I really wanted to make sure that A, everything was supported with science, and B, there was actionable steps so that you could start now to practice more skills that are highly correlated with happiness.
Awesome. I love it. Well, we're going to get into some of those steps shortly in the interview, but I first want to start off and just talk a little bit more about you as a person. And, you know, I think my first question to you is really like, because you are someone who from the first time I met you, it's like, you just like, you were just full of joy and happiness and like, you're amazing to be around. Your energy is fantastic. And my question to you is really like, have you always been that happy? Like, is this who you are as a person and has it always been?
I love this question. Something I've been really contemplating lately is this idea of, are we, because oftentimes you hear people saying, I'm becoming this, I'm becoming that. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, is it so much a case of becoming someone or is it kind of removing the masks and the layers that we've put on ourselves our whole life to be who we always were?
Right.
And the more I live my life, the more I feel that latter is the case where you know, I've always been happy. And then you put things in the way to prevent that, you know, lifestyle and mindset, all of these habits that we have from our life that come into play that affect us. On my website, my About Me section, I took little snippets from my report cards from like junior kindergarten and grade one.
I saw that. Super and, cute.
And I read them back and one of my teachers was like, Jillian's a really happy child.
Yeah.
And so I think, yes, I have always been pretty optimistic, positive. In the Strengths Finders quiz, positivity is my number two strength. Mm-hmm. That being said, I've been researching happiness for about almost 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And if I would have assessed my happiness when I started researching it, because I always try everything that I'm doing myself, right? You need to practice and feel it in your body.
Of course.
If I would have assessed my happiness when I started researching happiness and where I am today, mm-hmm. big difference.
Yeah.
So I think that, yes, I've been more happy. I've always been happy, and I'm happier now than I've ever been in my entire life. And it's because I've been practicing the skills that research teaches us are highly correlated with happiness. And I think what's cool for any of you guys listening right now is that no matter what you were born with, our genetics only account for about 50% of our total happiness capacity. So yes, some people were naturally born happier than others, and that only accounts for about half of our total happiness. About 10% is environment. So that's our job, our kids, our family, our work, all of that. Mm-hmm. And that might seem a little low to some of you listening right now. And the reason is because we live our life every day. We show up for our life every single day. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, it doesn't have as profound impact as we would think. Kind of like when you get a new car, it's super exciting the first day, and a month later, it's full of garbage, right? Yeah. So the cool piece is that 40% is left, and that's the piece that's a skill-based activity. So just like you go into a gym to work your muscles to grow stronger, mm-hmm. there are practices that you can do to work your happiness muscle to also grow stronger, your muscle to practice it and to get better. And I think that's a really empowering idea, because it gives the power back to all of us and gives us personal responsibility in the happiness conversation. Because the reality is, nobody's going to give us happiness. We're not going to find it somewhere. We're not going to buy it, not in a person. It's within ourselves. And so when we can focus on cultivating our own happiness for ourselves, that's where the magic and the power is of really living a life of optimal happiness.
I love that. And I think it's so powerful what you're saying, because I think back to a lot of times, even in my own journey, through like all of the processes of like every sort of thing that I've been going through in life, you know, whether it's like processing, trying to find happiness, trying to find optimism, going through anxiety, all these kinds of different things, emotions that I've been working through. And one of the things that I found was when I was younger, it was always a search outside of myself for that happiness, right? Yeah. And you're always kind of looking like you're like what you said, you're trying to buy things. Like I used to shop like every day, like literally every single day I'd buy myself like something. And I was like, that's crazy. Like now I'm like, that's insane. But back then that was like the norm. Yeah. I would travel a lot. Travel does make you happy though. It's a little bit different. I think
it's
maybe
experience.
I'm wrong.
Yeah. Right.
Or like there's a lot of people that I would know that would like move and like change space and that kind of thing, because they felt like it was just the space was making them negative or the mm-hmm. area that they were living in. But really it's all about diving deep. It's all about looking within and figuring out what you need to do in order to put into practice in order to make yourself happier. And also in my mind, I think it's also a decision that you make. Like it's an active decision to be happy, mm-hmm. I think. I truly believe that, because that's how I've kind of come out on the other side in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of times people will say like, are you happy today? I'm like, yes, I'm happy because I'm choosing it.
Yeah.
Choosing to be happy today.
Exactly.
Because in any situation, you can look at something and see what's wrong, what's missing, what's bad. And in any situation, there's always something good. Mm-hmm. There's always something. And so what we focus on, where focus goes, energy flows, right? And
yeah.
So when we choose happiness and we start to notice those things around us, it completely changes the conversation. Mm-hmm. One of the things I think of in terms of happiness is that a lot of people have what I call like the Christopher Columbus approach to happiness, where Christopher Columbus was an explorer who set out to find the new world. So he had his eye on the destination and he went there. And a lot of people pursue happiness in the same way, right? Where you're mm-hmm. going to arrive at happiness one day. However, that's not the case.
Right.
And we can see this in like, you don't go to the gym and have a really good workout and then be like, okay, you know what? I'm good. I'm done. I've achieved fitness. Nobody would ever say that.
I wish. Some days.
Yeah, right? Nobody would ever take a green smoothie, like packed with superfoods, drink it, and be like, I've reached nutritional wellness. I'm done.
Yeah.
So when we extrapolate that thinking to happiness, for some reason, there's some cross wires because that's a very common approach, that sort of Christopher Columbus approach. Mm. Whereas based on all the research I've done, both myself and what I've read, as well as personal experience, I believe that happiness from a Beethoven perspective is much more realistic and puts things into perspective in a better way. So I mean Beethoven, the composer, not the dog.
Right. I assumed, but I was like, the dog is also cute, so yes, let's clarify. Yeah.
So Beethoven composes music, right? And mm-hmm. So if we think of happiness like a piece of music where there's high notes, there's low notes. There's also spaces in between the notes. And those spaces aren't just pauses in between things that matter. The Zen proverb I love, it says, it's the space between the notes that makes the music. And so when you look at one specific spot on that music composition, it's a snapshot of an entire picture. When you take a step back and you look at the entire composition, mm-hmm. it comes together to create beautiful music. And it's an ongoing practice. You work your way through the piece. And mm-hmm. also what I like is that I don't think the goal is to be happy all the time either. And I think that's an important caveat. And there's actually in the research something called the dark side of happiness, where single-mindedly or narrow-mindedly pursuing happiness mm-hmm. can actually leave people feeling less happy.
Really?
Because if you're so goal-focused on happiness, then you lose sight of everything else. It's kind of the when I did a fitness competition a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and when you get to the end of it, you're so focused on your competition and your diet and everything that your personal relationships suffer, your sleep suffers, all of these things because you want that goal. And right. So a similar thing can apply to happiness.
Interesting.
So recognizing that we all have high notes, we all mm-hmm. have low notes, and we all have times of quiet as well. And that all together collectively creates beautiful music. It's a beautiful sound. If we were to just play one note the whole time, it would end up being like a long continuous tone. And that right. wouldn't even be beautiful music, right?
Right. So, it would just be monotone. Yeah.
Exactly. So recognizing that, I think also, especially when we look at something like social media, where we compare someone's front story, what they choose to show us on Facebook, to our everyday life, and we're seeing their bright, shiny moments.
Yeah.
When you look at happiness, like Beethoven, you can kind of see that, okay, so they're playing a really high note today.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm not playing that note, and that's okay because in my song I have those two. And
right.
we're just in different notes today. It takes away some of that comparison or the idea that we always need to be these sparkly, polished, shiny, happy people. Isn't a song, Shiny Happy People?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. By REM. Yeah. that's such a great way to think about it. I think I'm such a visual person, so I can see it as you're mm-hmm. explaining it. I can see the composition of like exactly yeah. how to understand it. And it makes so much sense to me because I do think there is so much of people trying to live on this high level at all times, right? And just understanding that there is going to be the highs and lows and that all of that is okay
right.
is really important. And so what do you say to someone who maybe comes to you and says like, okay, like I'm having a lot of low notes. What, you know, I guess the question is like, what are those kinds of skills like in the book that you have? I mean, we're going to put a link in. So anyone listening, you can download the book as well. Off of the recording or off of our blog, so make sure to check it out. But in the book, you do have like actual tips. So what would be sort of like your top, like if you had to choose like your top three, like what would be those things that you would say like do today, do now, they're so impactful and they will make you at least start getting out of those low notes?
I love this question. So first of all, the caveat is our bodies are run by hormones and neurotransmitters, and there's a chemistry piece to this. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's a time and a place where we need to talk to our doctor, because if we don't have dopamine and serotonin in our body, no amount of practices are going to make us happy.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
That being said, so there is that piece. And if that's, mm-hmm. you know, talk to your doctor and get that stuff in check, even at the same time, you can still do these skills. And so for most of us, happiness is a choice, like we talked about. And so there are a lot of skills when we look in terms of the research that are highly correlated with happiness. So when we do these skills, it boosts our happiness. The one for me, my number one, is the one that's had the most profound impact in my life in the past couple of years. And that's gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so gratitude and happiness are highly correlated. And when we practice gratitude, and what I mean by that is taking time every single day to think about things you're grateful for. Mm-hmm. So in a good, better, best situation, best would be taking out a journal and mm-hmm. writing down three things that you're grateful for. I use a journal called the 5-Minute Journal. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
It's really cool because it has the pages pre-filled out, because sometimes mm-hmm. a journal can, a blank page can be scary. And yeah. So I like this because it's got the like lines already filled out for me.
Yeah. It like prompts you almost.
Yeah. So that's a good resource. Or really take out any blank journal and write down three things that you're grateful for. Mm-hmm. If that isn't feeling good, or you want to do it in the morning and you forget one day, even thinking about things that you're grateful for still has an effect, not as strong and still very significant. And what's cool is, like we talked about before, what you focus on expands. So the more that you start to practice gratitude, the more things you'll notice in your life that you're grateful for. Mm-hmm. Being more specific is also a key piece. So getting as specific in your description of what you're grateful for as possible to really paint that picture in your mind.
Yeah.
There's a cool research study done with lottery winners. And so these people, not surprisingly, once they won the lottery, you see a huge spike in their happiness.
And then they,
yeah. Not shocking.
Yeah.
Not shocking science. However,
they're now millionaires. They're not sad right. in that moment.
Exactly.
But I'm assuming that there was definitely the follow-up to that.
Right. So over the 6 months, you see a slow, steady decline in their overall happiness.
Right.
Which again is that hedonic adaptation, the psychological concept that we get used to what we do. Same as the 10% of our happiness, right?
Yeah.
So the same study also had a second group of participants, and they were people that were given a gratitude practice. So at the beginning of the study, their happiness wasn't that high.
Right.
At the 3-month mark, so halfway through the study, mm-hmm. the gratitude group and the lottery winners' happiness levels were the same.
Interesting.
At the 6-month period, so when the study ended, the people that practiced gratitude were statistically significantly happier than the people that won the lottery.
Wow.
So what this tells us is that we can't control if we're going to win the lottery or not. If anyone is listening and they know how to do that, you can hit us up.
We are listening. We are here for you. Yeah.
And we can take 2 minutes every single day to practice gratitude and be happier than if we won the lottery. I think sometimes we want things to be complicated. And in terms of happiness, making it as easy as possible, reducing the barriers. We don't need to grind, work in order for something to be achievable and important.
Right.
And meaningful. And so this gratitude practice, very small amount of time, very simple, very profound.
Now, I do have a question though about these lottery winners.
Yeah.
Was there anything done where they also had a group of lottery winners who were also practicing gratitude at the same time?
I feel like
they should be doing both, and then like they could be like up here.
Exactly. I'd love to do that study, you know.
Anyone who's won the lottery, contact Julian. She wants
right.
to try to do this.
I want to study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, okay, number two, this one's for you, is exercise.
Yeah.
And I love exercise because it's almost like two coconuts with one rock. You get two really good things with exercise. So first of all, when you exercise, you release endorphins, those feel-good hormones that make you feel good. And when you release endorphins, your body naturally feels happier. So mm-hmm. from a physiological chemical perspective, you see a happiness boost. Also, when you exercise, the areas of your brain that are activated, that are firing when you move your body, are the same areas of the brain that fire when you're happy. So even if you're not enjoying your workout, the areas of your brain that would be moving and firing if you were happy are still firing because you're exercising. So you're getting that stimulation. You're getting that activity there, whether you're feeling happy or not. So it's really cool. And then you also, like when you exercise, you feel good about yourself. You feel confident in your body, feel strong in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have those emotions, that can also make you feel happier too. So exercise, whatever that looks like for you, whatever form exercise takes,
mm-hmm.
Really having that to...
Is there any kind of a study that shows like any type of exercise would be almost detrimental in some ways? Like, I'm only asking because I hear a lot, and I study a lot around HIIT training.
Yep.
And high intensity interval training, for me, for example, it creates a sense of happiness when I'm done and everything else. But what it was actually doing was affecting my body, creating more cortisol levels and increasing my stress levels and increasing adrenal fatigue and all those things because I was working out too much, too often, too long. Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of studies that show if there's a certain type of exercise that can actually be a little bit of a negative impact on your happiness?
So I love that you touched on the cortisol piece. So cortisol, mm-hmm. stress hormone that's released in our body when we are in fight or flight, when we have that sympathetic nervous system activation. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing that, when you're stressed, it of course impacts your workout, and it doesn't matter what workout it is. You can be in a yoga class, and if you're super stressed, your body's still releasing cortisol.
Yeah.
Yoga class is better though, because they have pranayama, the breathing cues, and slow breathing activates your parasympathetic nervous system. That's the rest and digest. So it kind of can buffer it. But mm-hmm. if you're looking at CrossFit, HIIT, Tabatas, any of that kind of stuff, it definitely releases it. So what's more important is, what's your mindset around it? Are you enjoying the workout? Is it fun? And also, you're right, exercise is physically tearing your muscles.
It's
hard and intense. And so I think it's more individual than it is workout specific. So some people can do a HIIT and just love every second of it. Some people like me would after the first round, I'm like, oh, really?
You're like, I hard pass on this one. I gotta go.
Yeah, so I think more than anything, it comes down to being a student of your body and recognizing that our body is our best teacher. And so when we have the awareness to know that we don't want to feel stressed during our workout and we want to feel good, we can start asking ourselves those questions. While you're working out, how am I feeling?
Yeah.
And I mean, some workouts, you look at Zumba, for example.
Yeah.
And if you look at the faces of the people in a Zumba class, they're all happy.
Yeah. So, unless I'm in your class, because then I'm like so stressed out because I am awful.
We should totally go together because I have zero rhythm. I'm always at the back of the Zumba class.
Oh my gosh. I'm always back left corner and being don't follow me. Nobody look over here. Cause I'm I will confuse you.
I went to a workout class a little while ago.
Oh really?
Yeah. And I was watching the teacher and I was like, oh, I look so good. I'm watching her. And then I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh dear. And I had fun and laughed about it. And laughter and smiling are great for happiness.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really
cool. We should go to one of those classes.
We totally should.
I'm in.
The other cool thing about exercise is that oftentimes it's done with people. So either you see friends at the gym, you go to a group class, you're at yoga. Mm-hmm. And the number one predictor of long-term health and happiness, this is coming out of an 80-year longitudinal study from Harvard, shows that social connection is the number one predictor of long-term health and happiness. So even beyond any of these practices, when we connect with people, and what I mean by social connection is having at least one or two people in your life that you can go to, that you can confide in, that'll be there for you, that support you, and then also the reciprocate of that. So you being there for them, having that deep, meaningful connection. And it doesn't need to be with a lot of people. One or two is all that it takes.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at happiness, really focusing on how can we foster good social relationships with people, because that has a huge, profound effect. And to that extent, I'll give that's kind of my third one, but I'm going to give you a freebie.
A bonus tip. I love it.
Think about all the time, what can we do to be happy? And sometimes the reverse can also be a great question too. So what can I remove from my life? What can I stop doing? What can I delete or get rid of?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the social connection piece, those people that are energy vampires, where you and you feel drained.
Mm-hmm.
So really starting to notice who's around you. Like you hear that Jim Rohn quote all the time, you like the five people you spend the most time with.
Right.
So really thinking about that too, noticing your social connections and which ones are serving you and which ones are not, and how can you spend more time with those people and less time with the energy vampires.
Yeah. And I really like the word that you just said, what's serving you, because I think about that all the time. I think about not just the people that I surround myself with, but every decision I make, how does this serve me? Right? Because being upset about something, being angry about something, having road rage, all these things, is it actually serving any purpose? Is it helping me in any way? Because if it's not, I try to really let it go. It's a practice. It's not something I'm perfect at in any way, shape, or form, but it's so it changes the way that you think about things and the way that you look at things when you think about, how does this serve me? Is this actually helping or hindering me?
Yeah.
And it's such a simple process to just ask that question constantly.
And I love that you said it was a practice, because it is, it's an ongoing practice.
Gotcha.
It's like, they call it a yoga practice, not a yoga perfect, because it's different every time, because we're different every time. And the same thing applies to happiness as well. It's a practice. It's an ongoing decision that we make every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fun fact about that. You want to hear a fun fact?
I love fun facts. Go for it.
So when Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, mm-hmm. he wrote that all Americans have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Right? Okay. And so we hear that all the time, that pursuit is kind of that Christopher Columbus approach where we go out and we seek and we get.
Yeah.
However, back when Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, the word pursuit doesn't mean what it means today.
Okay.
Back then, the word pursuit meant practice. So essentially what he said was, we all have the right to life, liberty, and the practice of happiness.
Oh.
So he knew it back then.
Powerful. That's great. That is a fun fact.
it's something to, it really puts it into perspective too, when we recognize that happiness is a practice.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Just reiterate what you said. It's like, everything is a practice. It's not something that just can come naturally to anybody, you know? Yeah. And so what would you say would be like your final, like if somebody was going to do one thing today, like if they were going to be like, okay, I'm going to try to be, you know, I'm just going to try to like wake up on the good side of the bed every day, or I'm going to just like try to implement something. What would you say to someone just starting out who's kind of like, you know, just trying to get the ball rolling? What would you say for them to do? Most important, would it be the like surrounding themselves with the right people?
I would say, first of all, that when we look out to other people, like I have this quote that I use in one of my slides, and it says, so many people spend their days looking for the happiness pill, never recognizing that they're the pharmacist.
Yeah.
And so all the practices we talked about today, gratitude, exercise, social connection, different people will connect with different practices. And so I would invite people to think and ask themselves, which one of these would best serve me right now?
Right.
And across the board, one simple one for everybody, no matter what, is to smile.
Yeah.
What's really cool about when we smile, there's two muscles, your orbicularis oculi and your orbicularis oris. So the muscle that goes around your eyes that gives you the crow's feet when you smile.
Yeah.
And the muscle that draws the corner of your mouth up towards your ears. When you smile and you activate those two muscles, it sends a message to your brain. And it tells your brain you're smiling. Your brain gets no context. It just knows that the neurons are firing.
Okay. And
so it starts this cascade of positive emotions because it thinks you're happy. So in any situation, wherever we are, we always have our mouth, hopefully. And so when we're feeling stressed, when we're feeling anxious, when we're feeling sad, even forcing a smile when we don't want to smile,
yeah,
changes our body chemistry towards happiness.
It's so cool. It's so cool how like our bodies work.
Right?
It's so fascinating to me.
Yeah, and it's so simple, right? So if you ever watch me at like in a CrossFit box or something like that working out, they're always like, why are you smiling through your workouts? I'm like, I'm trying to change my body chemistry.
Actually, I remember when I was teaching at the conference and I saw you, you were taking the class, the HIIT class.
Oh yeah.
And you were smiling the whole time. And I was like, I kept looking at you because I kept thinking, well, at least someone's smiling. But you probably the whole time were like, no, this is not great. I got to smile because I got to try to make it better.
Exactly. It's a practice.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jillian, for your time today. Thank you for sharing all of your amazing information. I feel like we could probably talk forever about this topic. Seriously. Though, because there's so much amazing content. And so, as I said, for anyone listening, the link is below this podcast. It's also in the blog post. Make sure to check it out. Jillian, if anyone wants to learn more about you, they want to check you out, how can they find you?
So my website is my name, Jillian Mandich, and it's Jillian with a G. So it's GILLIANMANDICH.com. It's kind of a good hub. Everything's there. All my socials are linked up there. And if you're on socials, I'm on all of them because I like it. And my handle everywhere is my name, at Jillian Mandich.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, thank you again. It was such a pleasure. I'm so happy we connected. And I look forward to our twerk workout.
Me too. Our twerk out.
Our twerk out. I look forward to embarrassing myself, really, is what I like to do. All right. Have an amazing day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have the best day ever. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.